Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
10, 9, 8, 7.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Ryan Miller night is set. It is this coming season in January of 2023. The 19th will be the night, Marty Baron, for Buffalo Sabres fans and hockey fans to celebrate Ryan Miller and see his jersey number retired. Quite a night.
Quite a night. Originally, I was thinking that may happen in November just because the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame is, I believe, in November. But you know what? Let's have our own special event. Like, let's have Brian come in and be 100% on the Sabres radar, on the fans' radar, and make this night a special night. So I'm really, really looking forward. Knowing that, and I'm going to give props to our game presentation crew down at the arena with the Sabres. Last season, they did an amazing job, from the bands playing live music in between periods and some great bands we had, some fun entertainment, to what they did with RJ's banner ceremony night, RJ's last call, and everything else. I just expect that the bar will continue to rise and that we'll have one spectacular evening when Ryan Miller comes in for his jersey retirement ceremony.
Head to sabres.com. Season tickets are available, half season tickets available, and those are your guaranteed options to make sure you have a seat that particular night when Ryan Miller is here and the Sabres honor him. The Islanders will provide the opposition. It's a Thursday night, January 19th of 2023. There was Sabre news after we went off the air yesterday, Marty, as Riley Sheahan is back in the fold. As far as the depth chart is concerned, it's fair to say that he is going to be in a battle for the fourth line center position, but the contract also stipulates it's a two-way deal, which means what, in your opinion?
Well, it means obviously that Riley Sheahan is willing to take maybe a contract that is not favorable for him. I mean, he's 30 years old. He's been around in the league. Played over 600 games. So it's not often that you see a 30-year-old saying, okay, now I will take a two-way deal. But it's one that he's betting on himself, saying, look, give me an opportunity and I'll push myself in that door. And we talked about the fourth line center position a lot last week, I believe it was. And Riley Sheahan in Seattle last year had 17 points, four goals, not a lot of offense, but really did, again, most of his ice time spent on killing penalties, taking draws, defensive positioning. So could he be a dark horse to make the roster?
Yeah.
I think dark horse would be a good way to put it. I don't expect him to be there, but if you don't want, and I'm not saying you don't want, but if it's not the right time after training camp to have Quinn and Peterka or either one of them or one or the two of them on the roster with the Sabres moving forward, then that's because either Quinn and Peterka did not perform to the level you want them to be, or because players like Sheahan or Bjork or Hinostroza or whatnot are performing above expectations, and now you have a decision to make.
Let's revisit Riley Sheahan's signing in a minute, and perhaps we can do so with your depth chart. But the biggest story that just broke in the NHL is that of Robin Lehner. He will miss the entire upcoming season for the Vegas Golden Knights as he requires hip surgery, and an exact timeline for his recovery is to be determined. That information disseminated by the Vegas Golden Knights themselves. So you were discussing this the other day, that you were unsure if Lehner could get back to the level that he once performed at. Left that as a major concern for obvious reasons about the Golden Knights moving forward. This directly impacts Logan Thompson and his ability to follow up now on how last season ended. How significant is this breaking news for you and for the Golden Knights?
It's very significant. Number one, it's significant on the salary cap of the Golden Knights, because we all know that with Shea Weber's $7.8 million, that's going to be put on long-term IR, and now Robin Lehner, $5 million, that gives them about $12.8, close to $13 million of long-term IR relief. Right now, that would put them at about $7 million under the cap. Which is not a situation we thought the Vegas Golden Knights were going to be in. I mean, they traded Dadonov to Montreal to basically get rid of the $5 million, acquired Shea Weber's injured reserve money. They gave Max Pacioretty for nothing to Carolina because they had to make room, because they were going to sign Kolesar, Nick Waugh. There was, you know, a lot of contracts that needed to come into play. And now you have the Robin Lehner news in August. So I feel like that's very significant for the Golden Knights cap situation. In net, we don't have to revisit what I said a couple of days ago. I just don't think that what I saw out of Robin Lehner the last couple of years gave me confidence that he could be a top goalie in the NHL and could take Vegas to where they want to go. I told you, I felt that if Vegas gets has a good season and is pushing in the playoffs to try to get to a cup, it would be with Logan Thompson. Laurent Brossoit will probably be the backup. They may split up and down the middle for a little while, but I think Logan Thompson is their best option. So it facilitates, let's just put it, it facilitates the decision to be made in the crease for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Brossoit is listed as injured at this moment too, as we have known. So this will be incredibly interesting. They still need to do a Nick Hague deal on their blue line and or make more transactions to settle the blue line itself. Thompson, you know, is under contract for not only this year, but two more years. So he's in a position to establish himself moving forward. The question I would ask, and I ask it with your understanding of the cap and how much money you can have on long-term injured reserve, and the fact that nothing is official on Nazem Kadri, would this be an opening for the Golden Knights to bolster their team in a different way?
It could be, but if what is being rumored that the New York Islanders have a 7x7.25 contract basically worked out with Nazem Kadri.
Well, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, but I think that contract number might have been a little on the false side. But regardless, we've known the Islanders to be in this mix for a long time.
So as Dave Pignota alluded on his Twitter this morning, I believe there's still some fake accounts running out there and some people that are really not in the know. And the insiders are all on vacation, so maybe they haven't sharpened their pencils enough to be able to write down the actual correct numbers. But I don't see, unless Vegas really wants to put themselves again in a position where their cap is going to be managed not by thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars, but by hundreds and single dollars, because that's how they've been dealing with it the last few years. If they want that, then maybe they make a swing at Nazem Kadri. I really don't think that is going to happen. Like we talked about Carolina yesterday with the loss of Pacioretty, could they be in for a Nazem Kadri? They could. I don't see it happening. I think Kadri goes to the Islanders, but it just makes things a little bit more interesting now, late in the summer. And you mentioned Laurent Brossoit being on long-term IR. So I talked to Gary.
Injured reserve at this point, I believe.
At this point. It was at the end of the season, though, that he was put on long-term IR because they needed his salary to come out, or it was injured reserve. But is it in this way? I talked to Gary Lawless, who covers the Vegas Golden Knights and actually works for the team, earlier in the summer, and I said, look, with Leonard and Brossoit not being in the mix at the start of the season, Logan Thompson and who will play for Vegas? And he said, oh, no, Leonard and Brossoit are going to be ready for the season. So that was his insider inside the Vegas Golden Knights organization, that both Leonard and Brossoit were going to be available. So the fact that now in August, Leonard will miss the whole season, it's expected for him to miss the whole season, is probably a bit of a late news for the Golden Knights to get on their desk.
Well, do you think it changes anything goaltending wise across the league?
No,
you know,
I don't.
Transaction wise, okay, here's one for you.
Yes.
The Islanders have been reluctant to move anything. If they end up over the cap, would they be more interested now in sending Varlamov to the West and give Vegas a more bona fide, stable number one?
They could. And for Vegas, the money would be the same, right? Varlamov's at $5 million. Leonard was at $5 million. So it's a wash. You were already preparing to pay Leonard $5 million, unless you knew from a long time ago that there was a possibility he was going to miss the season. So you were playing along with it. But I think Lou Lamoriello, the New York Islanders, want to trade a forward. They want to trade a Josh Bailey, Jean-Gabriel Pageau, Anthony Beauvillier. They want to trade a $4 to $5 million player forward, most likely. And then that would free them up more money to be able to get this deal done, not only with Nazem Kadri possibly, but also with Noah Dobson and Alexander Romanov. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, if you're really pushed against the wall, and that is a position that maybe the Islanders will find themselves in, that they have now to make a goaltender available, that's the only option I see available to the Vegas Golden Knights would be to bring Semyon Varlamov in. But also depends Varlamov, yeah. And it also depends on where Laurent Brossoit is again.
Right, like, right, yeah.
He was injured at the end of the season. I was told he was going to start the season. I was told both of them were going to start the season, and now one is out for the season. So who knows? Maybe they are only sitting with Logan Thompson right now and thinking, we really need somebody else and might as well go after a guy that's got 1 year left and will be UFA at the end of the season.
Why am I thinking of Dustin Tokarski and Louis Domingue now?
Well, so some teams did that, right? The New York Rangers
went in Domingue
and they got Louis Domingue as their third guy to make sure that if there was, they had a veteran in Hartford in the AHL, but if there was some injury concern, and they signed, I believe, Yaroslav Halak as the backup to Shesterkin. So, but maybe you can turn that into a mid-round pick. Maybe, you know, a third guy on your depth chart could turn into a third round pick. So then you'd have Logan Thompson and Louis Domingue, maybe both right-handed catcher, like you love them in Vegas. That would be, you'd be watching Vegas every night. I know that you already do, but you'd be watching them every night.
Tokarski is the depth guy for Pittsburgh, number three, if you will. Yeah. And Andrew Hammond has signed a PTO with the Florida Panthers, adding to the list of their PTOs. I believe they have the most PTOs going into the new season at this moment in time. He'll probably battle Alex Lyon down in Charlotte. Now, as it pertains to, you know, big contracts and injuries, the Max Pacioretty news, and if you just tuned in, Robin Lehner is now out for the year with Vegas. He is needing hip surgery, so his season is done before it started. Pacioretty in Carolina, we actually got details, Marty.
Oh.
He suffered a freak injury during off-ice workouts at their practice facility, which is the Wake Competition Center, and that happened on Tuesday. So the Achilles tendon injury is expected to sideline Pacioretty for 6 months. But
I hear it's extremely painful. I can just feel and see it in my mind, like Pat Shirady doing a drill or maybe even just a warm-up drill over some the ladder on the floor, whatever, and just collapsing in pain with a torn Achilles. That just makes me sick.
So from the Sabre standpoint, we started by letting you know that Ryan Miller night will happen on January the 19th in 2023. So can't wait for that this coming season. We obviously know that beyond Ryan Miller night, the man who will be behind the bench for that game and all the rest of them is 55 years old today. Happy birthday to Don Granato, the head coach of the team. And we mentioned that Riley Sheahan is back in the fold, signing a two-way deal yesterday as he will challenge positionally, presumably, for the fourth line center, but could well find himself, in my opinion, as like the Mark Jankowski type, who was quite helpful in Rochester last year. And remember, the Amerks have moved off of some of the veterans that provided great leadership last year. And we'll see whether it is Sheahan or Malone or somebody else that ultimately emerges with the fourth line center role here in Buffalo. As far as, you know, other Sabres in the news, we saw at development camp, we saw, I thought, a pretty good, you know, overall appearance. And by that, I mean just how he conducted himself off the ice too, in Ryan Johnson. He left the door open at that point in time to say, I'm not sure what this season holds. Lance Lysowski reporting this morning that from the Buffalo News, of course, that that Ryan is going back to Minnesota for his senior season.
Yeah, that's interesting. He did say he was torn between signing with the Sabres and turning pro or going back, and that even if he went back, that his goal is to play in the NHL with the Buffalo Sabres. So look, I mean, a lot of things can change, right, in a year, because when he is done with his senior year in college, he could come right to Rochester. He could come right to Buffalo. There's a lot of options. Or he could just wait it out and then become a college free agent later in August to be able to sign with any team that he would want. So is that a bit of a disappointing news? Possibly, because now obviously the door opens up for Johnson to be a UFA at the end or next summer. But I still will believe in his words that he wants to play in the Sabres organization, but feels he needs another year of development at the college level.
We didn't see Alexander Kisikov, surprisingly, at development camp after seeing him in Montreal at the draft, but there were some paperwork issues that didn't allow him to get here. So Lance, again, reporting from the Buffalo News today that that's all been cleared up. So we should see him in the fall when the rookie camp rolls around that leads into the Prospects Challenge, which begins on September the 15th.
So I believe he's on your Rochester depth chart, right, Duffer? Kisikov
Of course he is. Yes. Yeah. So, and that, you know, in itself could look, it could look really interesting if Sheahan ends up down there and they have a little bit of depth down the middle, if Artur Ruotsalainen doesn't end up coming back, the door not 100% closed on that at this point in time. So we'll see, but I like the fact that they've got more pieces with which to work and hopefully fill in that spot down there as the situation unfolds. There were also, Marty, some more names in the mix as it pertains to the Sabres. I don't know if it's necessarily in a newsworthy fashion, but our friends at NHL.com, of course, in these lean summer days, do their 32 and 32 series, doing previews and projections, both fantasy-wise and critical questions for every team in the NHL. And Buffalo is on the big board today when you go to NHL.com. So if you were to head there and look at, let's say, fantasy projections. I think this is more fun than anything as it pertains to, you know, what NHL.com is breaking down. The names that they used in this, they start with Rasmus Dahlin, and their point projection for Buffalo's number one defenseman is 50 points. Higher or lower?
Oh, higher. Come on now. Like, so this is where I am going. I look, A few of those articles were written by Mike Zeisberger, the Big Z. I love the Big Z. He's great. But again, you talked about the lean days of summer for NHL.com, and they kind of like do these overviews of team. And that's what they are, overviews. Now, this fantasy projection is done by the fantasy hockey staff at NHL.com. So they look at everything. They rank the top 250 players in the NHL when it comes to fantasy. They rank the top forwards, the top D. They're a great tool to have when you go into your fantasy season to pick your teams when it comes to NHL hockey fantasy. And they're great. But then you dig in a little bit team by team, especially with the Sabres. And then they say that Rasmus Dahlin's point projection this season is 50. Look, he had 53 last year, and you know, which ranked him 13th in the NHL. I pulled up what the top 10 last season was in the NHL. Obviously, Roman Josi, 96 points, Cale Makar, 86, Victor Hedman, 85. After that, you have Adam Fox, John Carlson, Morgan Rielly, Chris Letang, great season for Letang, Quinn Hughes, Aaron Ekblad, who was almost a point a game, only played 61 games, and Devon Toews, who is Cale Makar's partner. Devon Toews 10th at 57 points. I think Dahlin's a top 10 offensive defenseman in the NHL. So he was 13th, and he's going to continue to get better in my opinion. So he goes from 44 points his first season, 40 and only 59 his second year, 23 and 56 the shortened season, the pandemic shortened season. It was not a good year for Dahlin. Bounced back last year with 53. I think he goes over 50. I would even say he goes over 55. It's going to be closer to 60, in my opinion. So I think that's on the low end for Rasmus Dahlin. And I think he'll get 15 goals. I think he got 13 last year. So I think he'll get to 15 goals.
I have a little bit of, on-the-spot trivia as it pertains to Dahlin. And I'm not sure if you're going to hate me for this or not, but I think generally you like the challenge.
I like the challenge.
This ties in with an earlier signing this week by the San Jose Sharks. So there's your one clue. There were 9 defensemen in the NHL this year, 23 or under, who played 23-plus minutes per night. Obviously, okay. Dahlin is one of them. Otherwise, we wouldn't be going down this road. Can you name the other 8?
Okay, so the one guy that signed with San Jose was Mario Ferraro.
Correct.
So I would have to say he's one of them. 23 and under. I am going to go with Cale Makar.
There's another.
Okay, so that's good. I am going to go with Quinn Hughes.
Yes.
Okay. How many did you say I have to name? Because
five
that could
more.
Be, I got name. 5 more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. I am going to go with Mo Sider.
Yep. 4 to go.
Oh, was he like? I don't know what is. Was he like high in minutes? Because I would expect him to be like maybe
That's
25.
But just keep going.
It doesn't matter. I am about out of guesses. I don't want to fail.
Come on. So. One is a former Norris Trophy winner.
Former Norris Trophy winner under 23. Don't know.
Adam Fox.
Oh, is he 23 and under?
Well, he was probably 23 at the start of the year, is my guess.
Yeah,
don't question. I'm taking this legitimately from the San Jose newspaper that wrote the story about Ferraro.
Well, so that's your source. Okay, so Adam Fox. Okay, that makes sense. But Sergachev.
No.
Nah. Okay. That's my
Chychrun, and Heiskanen.
Oh, I should have known. Chychrun, because we've talked about him so much over the last like 2 years.
He's also one of the reasons I had to do this.
I'm happy I went 5 for 5 to start, and then
maybe,
I missed on that one.
Maybe the article was 25 and under. Maybe I misread it. You know,
that's all
possible.
Right. it's possible that it is 23 and under, and that's fine. Hey, but so 50 points for Dallin. Are you over, way over? Are you
thinking I'm way over.
Way yeah. over? Okay,
oh, I
so
think
you're
it's
in the
be,
same boat as me.
I think 60 is easily the number that he should be at. So
okay. Yeah. Well, since we are on that fantasy projection, their next guy listed on that article was Tage Thompson, which I had to, you know, kind of read it again and again and again when I first saw it, because they project Tage Thompson to have 55 points this year. He just came off a season where he had 68, scored 38 goals. Going from 68 to 55 would be a major, major disappointment, I in my opinion. I think if he stays around 65, okay, that's good. If he goes over 70, great. You know, but to drop down to 55 points, now we always assume he's going to play 82 games or close to it. Now, if there's an injury and he ends up with 50, then we adjust, right? But if he finishes the season with 55 points, that's that the Sabres are not going the direction we want them to.
Well, it could mean that others have soared past him. It could also mean he has a second consecutive 30 goal season, but fewer assists and goes 30 and 25. Would that be a catastrophic drop?
Yeah. He had 38 goals last year. I'm thinking 35 plus, thinking getting
I'd be okay with 30 goals. And 55
if he gets
points.
To 30, I'll say that's good, but I want to see 30-30. I want to see 30-35. I want to see the points and the production to be there. Now, if it's 28-30 for 58 points, that's not good. I mean, I know that Tage is going to set his bar way higher than that. That would still be above the projected points by NHL.com fantasy writers, but which have him at 55. But I'm saying 65 is average for me next year. So I would set the over-under at 65 with Tage Thompson.
What is the point projection for Owen Power and Alex Tuck? Those are on NHL.com. We'll discuss that and much more Buffalo and league related as we continue Sabres Live after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Before we called their name, and you know, you may have picked up on it, you know, I look around the table and say, is everybody comfortable? Is this our guy?
Is that unanimous? Everybody wants to do that? These guys too?
Make sure.
Make sure. Check these guys. Go ahead.
Make sure, Jerry.
Just make sure. Everybody?
When you get everybody shaking their head, you know, it gives you confidence to go up and make that pick.
Sabres Embedded, building the pipeline. It debuts tonight on Sabres YouTube at 7 p.m. Really looking forward to that. That was the voice of Kevin Adams at the most recent draft, where Buffalo fortified the stable with three first round picks. Ryan Miller, of course, was much later in the draft in 1999, went on to become the winningest netminder in team history. His jersey goes to the rafters on January the 19th of this coming season. If you missed it off the top, that's when Ryan Miller Knight will be. Really excited for that. If you're looking to guarantee yourself a spot for Ryan Miller Knight, full season ticket packages are available now. Half season ticket packages are available starting on Monday. Those will, of course, guarantee that you will be in the building for that special night. And, you know, you don't ever have to go too far to make connections, quite frankly, in life, but certainly within the game. And if we're sitting here talking about and getting ready to celebrate Ryan, as we should, it's hard not to think of what the hockey world lost last night in young Ben Stelter, 6 years old, the face of the Oilers franchise last season and their playoff run. And when you think of Ryan's own personal support of his young cousin and everything that he did for this community, you can't help but mourn with the hockey world today, with the Oilers and the Stelter family, at the loss of just an incredibly influential and courageous young boy.
Yeah, that was a tough news coming through the social media feed yesterday, knowing that Ben had passed away at six. He was diagnosed with brain cancer when he was only 4 years old and battled and was an inspiration to not just the Oilers and players like Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, but to the whole hockey world. And to be honest with you, a lot of NHL teams, a lot of NHL players, some who have never even met Ben, just really felt his story and his courageous battle. And when the word from his dad on social media came through that Ben had passed away, it was extremely sad. And he's going to be remembered and for a long time through the hockey community for his courage and his just his joy to be at hockey games and supporting the Oilers.
There are a lot of things wrong with the game. The Oilers are to be commended for everything they did right for Ben and his family. The extra mile, and obviously without hesitation, like there was such a genuine love for what the players were able to do with him, the creation of his own hockey card. Like Connor and Leon were so much a part of this, but so was Zach Hyman, who was in his first year with the Oilers. Like it just, it went all the way through. And Marty, I would say this, like one of the greatest things, and this is not to, you know, the reason we love sports is it pits one side against the other. It's competition at the highest level, and there has to be a winner and a loser. But there can be a level of decorum in all of this. You don't have to physically or, you know, verbally hate the other side just because you're in a battle against them. So when you see teams like their first round opponent, the LA Kings, going out of their way to put Ben on the highest stage when he was able to come there and be there for a playoff, you know what? Like that's where you see that people can get it, and you just hope that there's more ways out there to continue doing stuff like that.
Like, the Calgary Flames, the Battle of Alberta, the Calgary Flames are like, we are all with you, Ben. Like that is the, you know, the animosity, and you felt it in some of the A-Days, Duffer. You were out there in Alberta and you know, there's a line between Calgary and Alberta that you can't cross if you are a fan of one team or the other. And the Flames were all supportive. The clip that we showed on MSG, for those that are driving around, we just showed a clip on MSG of Ben in the hallway high-fiving the Oilers as they're going on the ice. That was, I believe, in Calgary during the Battle of Alberta this year.
Yeah. So our condolences again to Ben's family and the Oilers. And we'll see their special remembrance undoubtedly throughout the course of this upcoming season. We were talking before the break, Marty, about the projections through NHL.com, yeah, the fantasy projections for certain members of the Sabres that are up on the front page of NHL.com today as Buffalo is in the spotlight for 32 in 32. We mentioned before the break that their projection for Tage Thompson was 55 points. Their projection for Rasmus Dahlin was 50. Continuing along this fantasy vein, Owen Power in his first full NHL season, they project at 44 points. Your thoughts?
I think that is appropriate. And the reason I'm saying it's appropriate, only one rookie defenseman last year went above 44 points. That was Mo Sider of the Detroit Red Wings. He won the Rookie of the Year. He had 50. Jamie Drysdale had a really nice season with Anaheim at 32. Alexander Carrier, who was on the all-rookie team, and we were like, who is this guy? Nashville defenseman had 30. Sean Durzi, 27. We like Durzi with the LA Kings. So to get over 30, to get over 40 is a special season. I mentioned Rasmus Dahlin, his first NHL season, he had 44 points.
Yes.
So that is, I think, what the number comes from is saying, hey, first overall pick, although Dahlin was coming right out of his draft year, Owen Power is a year later, and now having played some games in the NHL, I would think 44 is the right marker for over-under, but I'm going to put pressure on Owen and say, if you're listening, Owen, I'm projecting over.
Do you think that because of their projections here that you're seeing a lower number for Dahlin because of the pretty staunch number here for Power and expectation?
It could be, because at some point you have to put it all together with the six defensemen.
Yeah, you got to divide the pie, especially on the power play, right?
If you expect the Sabres to be, let's see, a top half defense production team in the NHL, well, you got to figure out who was in the top half last year, how many points did they get, and spread that towards your six defensemen. So I think that maybe Dahlin got a few points taken away from him because Power is going to get some points. But at the same time, I feel that it may take away from other players. So Henry Jokiharju, for example, for me, is maybe a guy that will drop a little bit, especially if he plays with Power and Power has the puck a lot more, then maybe you don't see Henry Jokiharju's numbers go up because Power will take away some of those points. But I don't think that it affects Dahlin and Power together, because I think those two eventually will always continue to climb and get to that, I hope, 60 points. Like, I hope both of them, that the Sabres could have two defensemen in the top 10 in scoring and both at 55 to 60 points in a couple of years from now.
Yeah, I'll say this. It's not a common reference point, although we do kind of go around it a fair amount through the course of a season. But Buffalo's defense corps last year produced 144 points. The league leaders were Colorado at 238.
Yes.
Which again, based on everything you just said, is not surprising. Now, it's a bit of an anomaly. I mean, they steamrolled Florida, the number two spot, by 25 points.
The only team with two defensemen in the top 10 is Colorado, right? It's Cale Makar and Devon Toews, who played together. So they're the only that they produce from the back end all season long.
Right. And there's no formula that says this is the way it has to be a winner in today's NHL. Obviously, it didn't hurt Colorado having this type of push from the back line, a push that they will undoubtedly still have for years to come, because even if they move off of Samuel Girard, who played a big role in this 238 points, he did not get the opportunity to play a big role in the course of the postseason. The Panthers, the Predators, the Flames, and the Hurricanes were rounding out the top five when it came to last year's top point producing defense corps. Now, back to the forward ranks, and final one from a fantasy projection from NHL.com as it pertains to a Sabre skater. He's looking for his first full season with the team. They have Alex Tuck at 56.
Okay, so Alex Tuck, if he was to get 56 points this year, would be his highest in his career. He had 52 points in his second full season with Vegas And he scored 20 goals. So again, you talked about Tage Thompson. How many goals does he get? How many assists does he get? How does that affect the point total? If you follow Alex Tuch's point percentage or points per game effort from last season, and he plays 82 games, that's 62 points. So I liked what Alex Tuch brought to the game last year. Actually, his first 15 games were really good in point production, and then it dropped a little bit. But so I would say that is correct on Alex Tuch to say that 56. Would I like to see it at 60? Absolutely. Do I think that 20-plus goal is a must for Alex Tuch? Absolutely. And you know what? He's only got 20-plus goal once in his career. So I would like to see career numbers in goals, career numbers in points, and maybe that is 20 goals, 36 assists, 56 points. I think he can get to 60 points plus, but I think that's a fair assessment for Alex Tuch.
Fair is absolutely the word I would use in that regard. Again, you can check all this out at NHL.com. One more thing that we will do to extrapolate from this article and articles, if you will, on NHL.com today is they zero in on, you know, the really just kind of how you're looking at the Sabres and their expectations. I would focus in before we take a quick break and do fill in the blank on their choice of three questions facing the Buffalo Sabres. Their first one is, how will Owen Power handle the pressure in his first full NHL season? Do you feel that this is a significant question? Like, when you're sitting here thinking about this upcoming season, is that a question that definitely comes to mind for you?
No, it is not. It was not even like when I saw the title, three questions regarding the Sabres, I thought, okay, goaltending has got to be one, right? Mm-hmm. And it is question number two from NHL.com. So goaltending, Craig Anderson, Eric Comrie, how does that play out? Where does UPL fit in? Like, goaltending is a big question. It has been now for a couple of seasons, and it will be for a couple more. So that is one. Two, I figured it had to be about Victor Olofsson, Casey Mittelstadt, maybe even Quinn and Paterka. How does that all play into the Sabres moving forward, especially this year? But never would I ever have thought that Owen Power handling the pressure in his first full NHL season was going to be there. Why? Because there's Dahlin, there's Samuelson, there's Joakim Aho, they got Lyubushkin. I think he's pretty much insulated to not feel like he has to do it on his own, by himself. He can just chill, play his game. So that's definitely not a question that's on my mind going into this season with the Sabres.
As Marty mentioned, the two other questions, the Anderson-Comrie tandem, can it provide a chance to win consistently? And the third question for NHL.com, can Casey Mittelstadt meet expectations? I think that's
Do you think Power will feel the pressure?
That's a different question.
Will he handle the pressure?
Yes. Am I concerned about it enough to put it as one of my three questions? No, I wouldn't. I don't think it would have ever registered. And that's neither right or wrong. That just comes down to your own personal opinion. But he would fall into the kind of least of my worries category, you know? So we'll leave it at that. So
how about this? Happy birthday, Don Granato, again. But how is Don Granato going to be able to push the right button again as he did in the second half of the last season? Like, that's a question. Like, it's, you know, when a rookie comes in, you always wonder about that sophomore jinx. And listen, the players don't think about it. The coaches definitely don't think about it. But how is Don Granato going to adjust in his second year now that with the success they had in the second half of last season? I think that could be a question.
I'm going to put that one in the category of power. And you know why?
Because you know Don.
No. It's because when I find myself talking with people that I know or people that I don't about the Sabres, I can't tell you, Marty, how many times I have said to them, let me tell you, coaching is the least of my concerns.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm not going to allow myself to circle back on that and all of a sudden feel like it is a concern.
I was just posing the question. I don't
know.
I'm not saying I agree with my own question, but I'm just posing
me every day when I push you. But we're going to do it blank style. Fill in the blank style as we continue Sabres Live right after this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
The goal with Dominic was to take a chance on giving an opportunity as a starting goalie to a player who had clearly demonstrated international capabilities. I had seen him play in the World Championship stage. I believe it was in Vienna, where he had a dominating play game and against the Red Army team. The Soviet Union, I guess, in the World Championships. And it just stuck in my mind that here's a guy that, while unconventional, as you know, Marty, as a goalie, Dominic's style can best be described as athletic beyond belief.
Jerry Meehan, the former general manager of the Buffalo Sabres, player, captain as well, just an incredible opportunity for us to catch up with him this week on the Sabres Live Overtime podcast, which is out now, discussing the 30-year anniversary of the acquisition of Dominic Hasek. All right, very quickly, fill in the blank, Marty.
Hey.
It's Don Granato's birthday. Don Blank is the most famous Don in Sabres history.
I'm going to say Don Edwards.
Oh, my goodness. Did I miss one? Go with Don Luce?
Don Luce, yeah. I was going to go with Don Luce first, then I said, I got to go with the goalie.
Wow, Lucy is going to be so mad at you.
Sorry, Donnie. If it would have been the most famous Diane, I would have said Diane Luce. But I don't know that I want to go there with Don. So,
Blank was a great rumored trade that never happened.
Jacob Chychrun to the whole rest of the league. So it's a great rumor that still keeps on giving, Duffer.
Okay, I'm going to skip the next one and then go to this one because I know you have a strong answer. Blank would be a great name for a racehorse.
Well, I have horses and they all have fantastic name. One of my retired horses named Boogie Nights. And, you know, if you've ever seen the movie, it's not for the movie, but anyway, he was fantastic, world champion and all. But Keith Jones used to call his fantasy hockey team the Hoof-Hearted. So I just want to see the caller say Hoof-Hearted as they go down the line. Would be a great name.
Rodolfo Castro losing his cell phone at third base was Blank.
Just typical of kids these days. They never leave their cell phones anywhere. So he had to have it on him as he's playing the game of baseball. It's crazy.
Last one, it's going to have to be Serena. And yes. Serena Williams' announcement in Vogue was Blank.
Beautiful. I mean, she's a fashion icon, an entrepreneur. Like, she is, she's Vogue. She is all that it is about Vogue.
As are you, our listening audience. We'll do it again tomorrow on Sabres Live.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.